Speaker was suddenly propelled onto a strike committee when the Lindsay oil refining construction workers walked out on strike. This action was a consequence of construction companies involved attacking the wages, trying to undermine the wages and the conditions of the workers at that construction site, in this case by using an Italian subcontractor. This action took place in January this year, and then there was further action at the Lindsay Oil Refinery later in the year. First, before Keith Gibson speaks, we're going to have a very short film to introduce him.
About everybody else's son.
It was okay 18 months ago when it was massive work here. When we were at the Heathrow Airport for 4 years, don't say bye, absolutely brilliant. Work alongside all the foreign workers, great. Now, we're in a recession here now, and now we can't get a job.
We fully understand and have every sympathy for the concerns of our fellow citizens who feel strongly about this matter. In relation to the activities of the company, so far as we are aware, they are operating lawfully.
The fight stands here at Lindsay! The fight against discrimination! The fight against victimisation! And the fight to put bread on the table for your children!
Well, then our challenge, Gordon Brown.
For a Prime Minister and Mandelson to come out and say that these lads are breaking the law in fighting racism in this country, to me, is an absolute disgrace.
Don't want the British Council Sergeant, Thomas Colbert.
Recommendation from the Strike Committee is to reject their proposals to us. Can I have a show of hands for that?
Although we've won a victory on this project, we need to take it forward.
year of attacks on workers, where they'd seen the bosses and the government giving millions and millions of pounds to the banks to try and bail out their system. And also, at the same time, our construction workers were seeing day in and day out workers losing their jobs, workers being thrown on the scrap heap. And despite all the media who played a conscious role in the January and February strikes to try and split construction workers away from the Italian workers, and try, in order to support what the bosses was doing in their drive to break our national agreement. The solidarity in construction, which spread like wildfire across the country, was an absolute inspiration, not just to myself, who was dragged back, yes, kicking and screaming, to working class organisations and the working class struggle, but every single person who watched it in the media and then saw during day in, day out, what workers could do. The power of the working class was shown quite clearly, not just at Lindsay Oil Refinery, but across the country in all the construction sites and also in the other battles that we've seen this year. The strikes earlier this year were unofficial. The anti-trade union laws were still there, what was put on the statute book by a Tory government. And we have to say quite clearly, comrades, that those laws were not taken away in the inception of a Labour government. The Labour government have kept them laws on the statute book. And what does that say to us? It says quite clearly to me that the so-called Labour Party are defending the ruling class of this country and are not prepared to defend working people. Our action in those strikes, in the January-February strike, was not directed Italian workers, like the media, and unfortunately some sections of the left who went along with what the media portrayed regarding them strikes. That strike in January, February was a monumental victory for working class people. The bosses who refused to take on the skilled labour in this country in an attempt to divide one nationality against another, they wanted to employ Italian workers. We, through the Socialist Party, put a leaflet out to those Italian workers. We got a leaflet out on the barge that was hauled up in Grimsby to appeal to the Italian workers and to make them understand what we were striking against. And it was not against those particular workers. We moved to support and to try and defend our national agreement. But because of that vacuum that was left when we went on strike in January, February, there was a vacuum when we walked out. There was no leadership, and unfortunately, there was no leadership from our trade unions, the GMB and Unite. I think it's quite important for me to say it when I'm stood on a platform with Matt Rack, who's the General Secretary, I think, of the FBU, of Bob Crowe, when the construction workers heard what they had to say about their strike and about how they would support the strike. They turned around immediately and said, who the hell are these people? Who are these people who were leaders of the trade unions? And I explained to them about Bob Crowe's position, and I also explained what Matt Rack's position was, because Matt spoke at the rally on in the June-July strike, and the workers saw that there was trade union officials who was prepared to defend and prepared to support the workers that took action. And they said, why don't we join their union? Why don't we join Bob's union, the RMT, because Bob spoke in London at the Olympic demo, what we had outside in the Olympics. Why don't we support her? Why don't we join the FBU? And I said, I wish it was as simple as that. I wish it was the fact that we could just join those unions and transform the trade unions and transform the political organisations. But I think it was the RMT. The RMT was a right-wing union not so long back. And it's only because of the likes of Bob, the likes of Matt, that they've got a fighting trade union leadership.
I've got to sum up, but
one of the clear things that came out of the January-February strike, or one of the dangerous things that happened, was the appearance of the British Nationalist Party. The British Nationalist Party turned up, I think it was either the second or third morning of the strike. There was approximately 200-250 yards away from the main picket, and it wasn't the strike leaders that went to them, to the BNP. It was the ordinary workers who approached them, and in the fruity language, shall we say, of construction workers, they told them to march. They told them to disappear away. From that political dispute. They made it quite clear to them that they have got no truck with working class struggle. And the BNP walked and was never seen again. In the media, look at the role of the media that the media played within our strike. The media blackout, obviously for real reasons, regarding what was happening in them strikes. I stand here proud of the fact that the Socialist Party not only produced information in their paper, but produced leaflets explaining every day of that strike about what the strike was about and what the strike could achieve. And it said quite clearly in those leaflets that we could win. We could win that dispute, and we turned them that dispute around in January, February. We turned it away from the racially point to pure and simple class issues, where we appealed to the workers of Lindsay Oil. We also appealed to workers nationally. We got fantastic support internationally. We got messages of support, which I used to read out to the strikers from Belgium. We got support from Belgium, we got support from France, and we got support from Italy, and we also got support from Germany. I had the opportunity to go to Italy and speak to Italian trade unions about what our strike was about. And I got a fantastic response from Italians, because they understand as well that Italian workers, Portuguese workers, French workers, any workers throughout the world have got more in common with workers from here than the bosses. The bosses are the enemy, and the bosses are quite clearly trying to break working class unity. I'll finish on this point. The marvellous response of workers in them disputes, the marvellous response from trade unionists up and down this country, the marvellous response from international support. I've got, and I'm going to stand here and say proudly, that we defeated the bosses in February. We also defeated the bosses in June and July. But we're not stupid. They're going to come back and try and attack workers of their construction workers. We also want to attack every section of privatised industry. And they also want to attack the public sector, because they have to drive down workers' living standards. I would like to finish on two points. It affected me enormously on those strikes. But to look at the people that got involved, there's two comrades sat in here today who said in the June, July strike, we're prepared to fight, we're prepared to go all the way. They was prepared to lose the house because what they saw of how the bosses wanted to attack us. That was an enormous, that was a fantastic example of how workers learn in struggle. And last but not least, another comrade who joined this organisation, who joined the Socialist Party out of the struggle. He sent us a text, and I've got every text that the Socialist Party comrades sent me, along with other trade unionists, and I'll never forget the sort of support I got through my phone. But I'll finish on this one text, and it was from the comrade that joined this organisation. Keith, we've beat these all day. We'll step it up a gear next week. I'm not giving my life up, or my kid's life, or my girlfriend's life up for no one. Together we'll win. Together we'll take a slice of the pie instead of the crumbs that they want to take away from us. I am back on Monday and things will change. Everything is a lot clearer to me. I think we will win. I think we did win. But we've got to move and we've got to struggle, not just for industrial action and not just for industrial victories, but political victories. We have got to build, and not just an industrial voice, but a political voice. And I think that's what the discussions have been for the last few months, of building a political voice that are going to support working people.